Let us pray. Gracious and holy God, we are thankful for the comfort, for the love, for the generosity that you have given to us. Guide us, Lord, to be people who comfort like you have comforted us, who love as you have loved us, and who give as you have given to us. In Christ's name we pray. Amen. Our scripture this morning comes from the fifth chapter of the Gospel of Matthew, verses 1 through 5. When Jesus saw the crowds, he went up to the mountain, and after he sat down, his disciples came to him. Then he began to speak and taught them, saying, Blessed are the poor in spirit, for theirs is the kingdom of heaven. Blessed are those who mourn, for they will be comforted. Blessed are the meek, for they will inherit the earth. We're in the midst of a series here in the life of our church about the Beatitudes. We're taking each individual blessing that's found in Matthew chapter 5, and we're discussing what good news we might receive from Christ in the midst of our lives. We aren't talking about necessarily how we're called to change our behavior or what we're called to be more like, which is an important distinction when it comes to the Beatitudes. Oftentimes in sermons, your pastors tell you what you need to do, how you need to change, what you need to do to follow a command or to become more holy or Christ-like. But the Beatitudes aren't meant to be read like that, because the Beatitudes are blessings, not commandments. And the most important thing to remember about blessing is that blessing isn't something that we earn. It's something that is given to us. This is why I think we get mixed up a lot when we think the Beatitudes are what we should try to be more like. Because the Beatitudes aren't calls to action as much as they are statements of promise. For if blessing was something we earn, the Beatitudes would read like this: Be poor in spirit so that you may receive the kingdom of heaven and be blessed. Mourn so that you might be comforted and be blessed. Be meek so that you might inherit the earth and be blessed, and so on. But that's not what Jesus says. Instead, what Jesus says is this: You are blessed, and then when you're poor in spirit, you may receive the kingdom of heaven. You are blessed, and then when you mourn, you are comforted. You are blessed, and then when you're meek, you will inherit the earth. But the important thing here is the phrase, you are blessed. We're already blessed, not because we're so good at being meek or poor in spirit or merciful or peacemaking that God has decided to bless us. But we're already blessed because God deemed us worthy of blessing just by being his children. Blessing can never be earned. It can only be received as a gift. This realization is especially important this week as we move into a new beatitude. Because it's not really tempting for us to try to be poorer in spirit or to try to mourn more. But to be more meek, that might be something we think we can actually achieve. So we turn this beatitude on ourselves, thinking if we can just do it a little bit more, we'll be good. Part of this is because we as humans like to solve our own problems. And part of this is because we don't really understand what it means to be meek, or even more so, what it means to inherit the earth. So this morning we're going to talk about three questions. First, what does it actually mean to be meek? And second, how does meekness allow us to inherit the earth? And then finally, what does this look like in our lives and in our world? So first, what does it mean to be meek? Now, I'll admit that when I hear the word meek, The first thing I think of is this episode of the kids' TV show Arthur on PBS. This is something that's actually a lot easier for me to admit on live stream because I don't have to see your confused faces right now. But when I was a kid, there was an episode of this show where one of the characters, Francine, makes a bet with her friend Muffy that Francine can be meek for an entire week. This is difficult for her because Francine tends to be a little bit more mean. She's very assertive, kind of bossy, speaks her mind. But in order to be meek for a week, she basically becomes a pushover, going so far as to lose the tournament hockey game because she's trying to be nice to everybody instead of trying to win the game. Now, this episode, it ends somewhat confusingly for children's TV shows that often have morals, because it pretty much ends by saying that it was a bad idea for Francine to try to be meek for a week, because that's just not who she is, so she couldn't be expected to do that. Now, all this really does is to add to the general confusion of what it means to be meek. Meek isn't just some sort of general niceness. Meekness doesn't mean not saying how you feel or not having emotions. Meekness doesn't mean being a pushover. So then, what does it mean to be meek? Well, it's still kind of a difficult question to answer. Oftentimes, meek is translated humble or gentle. As I was reading about this verse this week and talking about it with others, one thing I kept coming across was that to be meek doesn't mean that you are weak. And now, maybe it's because I'm not really that meek and I like to think that I know what's right, but the more I heard and read that meekness isn't weakness, the more I found myself thinking, actually, that's exactly what it is. And maybe that's our problem with this verse. Because after all, we hate to be told that we're weak. We like to be strong and powerful. And so the idea that the weak would be the ones that are blessed by Christ doesn't sit well with us. So we try to explain it away. We say, oh, to be meek means to be humble. Well, guess what? Nothing about being humble means being strong or powerful. Or we say, oh, meek means to be gentle. Well, guess what? Nothing about being gentle means being strong or powerful. In fact, when you tell a toddler to be gentle at the petting zoo for baby animals, which is pretty much the only time we use the word gentle outside of church, we're telling that toddler to not be strong or powerful, but to be weak so they don't hurt the baby animals. We are meek when we are weak. We are meek when we accept our failures and our inabilities. We are meek when we stop trying to portray ourselves in the best possible light. We're meek when we're unable to win or even to fight. We are meek when we admit that we don't know something or can't do something. We're meek when we're humble and we aren't always looking at ourselves as the best and most important. We are meek when we are gentle. We are meek when we don't think we have all the answers. We are meek when we know that our way isn't the only way. We are meek when we don't have it all together. And maybe if we can come to accept that meekness is actually weakness, we can live into this beatitude as a statement of promise instead of a call to action. Because what happens when we find ourselves in times of meekness, according to Jesus? Well, it's then that we inherit the earth. Which leads us to the second question. How does being meek allow us to inherit the earth? Now, the concept of inheritance goes right along with being blessed. Because an inheritance is another thing that we do nothing to earn. You're just given an inheritance, most often because you're somebody's child. So when this beatitude tells us that blessed are the meek, for they will inherit the earth, it's doubly reminding us that we aren't earning anything here. When we're meek, we're given the earth. God doesn't look at us and think, well, look how good they're doing at being meek and humble and gentle. So I guess I'll just give them the earth. Instead, when we find ourselves in times of weakness or humility, God gives us the earth purely because we are God's children. And to be clear, the earth that Jesus is talking about here isn't the earth as it was in Jesus' time or the earth as it is now. This earth is much like the kingdom of God that Pastor Matt talked about a few weeks ago. This earth is the way that God meant the world to be, the way that God created the world to be. The earth that the meek are inheriting is full of goodness and hope and peace. So finally this morning, what does the meek inheriting the earth look like in our lives and in our world today? Now, generally, that means that rather than despise weakness, we understand that it's in our moments of weakness that Christ is revealed to us. And the moments when we find ourselves failing or humbled or lost, we actually have the opportunity through Christ to see the world as it should be. For it is then that we are no longer relying on our own strength or power or ability, but on the love and grace of Christ. Now remember, this isn't about trying to be more humble or gentle or meek. These things already happen in our lives. We just need to be vulnerable enough to admit them. Jesus says, "Blessed are the meek, for they will inherit the earth." And these words are a statement of promise from Christ that in our moments of deepest need, through the kindness of God and others, we will see the world how it's meant to be. My grandpa was one of the more gentle and humble men that I ever knew. He probably understood the meaning of this beatitude better than most. On the day of my grandma's calling hours, as we gathered as an immediate family to prepare to receive family and friends, my grandpa walked into the funeral home, looked around at the flowers that had been sent, at the pictures displayed, at his family gathered, and at the casket with his wife of nearly 60 years, and said simply, "I might cry a little today." That's meekness, a simple acknowledgement of weakness and vulnerability, a quick statement to say that today is really hard and we don't have it all together. And I remember, and anytime I remember that, I realize that our family experienced the promise of that beatitude in that moment. That for a few brief moments, as we comforted each other, as we cried together, as we shared memories, we experienced the love and peace and hope and grace that the world is meant to have. So blessed are you when you are weak. Blessed are you when you don't have it all together. Blessed are you when you don't know the answers. Blessed are you when you fail. Blessed are you when you lose. Blessed are you when you admit that you don't know the best way to reopen things and go back to normal. Blessed are you when you think everybody is doing better than you are. Blessed are you when you cry on the way to the grocery store. Blessed are you when you sit in your living room with your family or alone in your kitchen and share in communion in a few minutes. Blessed are you when you aren't strong or powerful. Blessed are you when you are humble. Blessed are you when you are gentle. Blessed are you when you are meek. Because it's in these moments that we inherit the earth. It's in these moments that you have a unique opportunity to experience Christ at work. It's in these moments that you get a glimpse of the way that the world is meant to be. A world that exhibits Christ's love. A world that seeks to meet others in moments of need. A world that says it's okay to be weak. It's okay to not be all together. It's okay to be meek. Because when we realize we are weak, we can rely on the strength of Christ. Blessed are the meek, for they will inherit the earth. Let us pray. Gracious and loving God, we thank you that we are blessed purely because we are your children. Lord, when we find ourselves in moments of meekness, of humility, of gentleness, when we're weak, when we don't have it all together, allow us to experience your love and grace and hope. Allow us to inherit the earth, your kingdom. In Christ's name we pray. Amen.
We believe in our church that something mysterious and powerful and deep and beyond our understanding happens in the midst of sacramental practice. So as we enter into a time of communion then, or the Eucharist, we celebrate the fact that Christ says, come meet me right here, come meet me. And the more that we meet with him and the more that we open ourselves to Christ, we become these Beatitudes even beyond our trying or hoping. Something of Christ takes us over, and we not only begin to live these Beatitudes, but we experience the blessing and the treasure of them. Christ, our Lord, invites everyone to his table who would love him, who would earnestly repent of their sins and seek to live in peace with one another. Therefore, let us confess our sin before God and each other. If you would, even out loud, even if it's a little awkward, just say with me, Merciful God, we confess that we have not loved you with our whole heart. We have failed to be an obedient church. We have not done your will. We have broken your law. We have rebelled against your love. We have not loved our neighbors, and we have not heard the cry of the needy. Forgive us, we pray. Free us for joyful obedience through Jesus Christ our Lord. Amen. Take just a moment and offer your own confession to God. Hear then the good news. Christ died for us while we were still sinners. That proves God's love toward us. In the name of Jesus Christ, you are forgiven. In the name of Jesus Christ, you are forgiven. Glory to God. Amen. The Lord then be with you.
And also with you.
Lift up your hearts.
We lift them up to the Lord.
Let us give thanks to the Lord our God.
It is right to give our thanks and praise.
It is right and a good and joyful thing everywhere and in every time to give thanks to you, Father Almighty, Creator of heaven and earth. And so with your people on earth and all the company of heaven, we praise your name and join in their unending hymn.
Holy, 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 holy Lord, God of power and might, heaven and earth are full of your glory. Hosanna in the highest. Blessed is he who comes in the name of the Lord. Hosanna in the highest.
Holy are you. Blessed is your Son, Jesus. By the immersion of his suffering, death, and resurrection, you gave birth to your church, delivered us from slavery to sin and death, and made with us a brand new covenant through water and the Spirit.
On the night in which he gave himself up for us, he took bread, gave thanks to you, broke the bread, gave it to his disciples and said, take, eat. This is my body, which is given for you. Do this in remembrance of me. And then when the supper was over, he took the cup, gave thanks to you, gave it to his disciples, and said, "Drink from this, all of you. This is my blood of the new covenant, poured out for you and for many for the forgiveness of sins. Do this as often as you drink it, in remembrance of me." And so, in remembrance of these, your mighty acts in Jesus Christ, we offer ourselves in praise and thanksgiving as a holy and living sacrifice in union with Christ's offering for us as we proclaim the mystery of faith.
Christ has died.
Christ is risen.
Christ will come again. This would be the time now, if you don't have bread or a wafer, cracker, or juice, or even just water, some symbol to welcome Christ's presence into your heart, into your life. Whether you're a member of our church or not, we would encourage you to gather those. Now, God, pour out your Holy Spirit on your people who have gathered together through this technology. And now on these gifts of bread and wine, crackers and juice, make them be for us the body and the blood of Christ, that we might be for the whole world the body of Christ redeemed by his blood. By your Spirit, make us one with Christ. By your Spirit, make us one with each other and one in ministry to all the world until Christ comes in final victory. And we feast at his heavenly banquet, and the world is put right. Through your Son, Jesus Christ, with the Holy Spirit and your holy church, all honor and glory is yours, Almighty Father, now and forever. Amen. So then, with the confidence of children, we pray this prayer together.
Our Father, who art in heaven, hallowed be thy name.
Thy kingdom come, thy will be done.
On earth as it is in heaven.
Give us this day our daily bread, and forgive us our trespasses, as we forgive those who trespass against us.
And lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from evil.
For thine is the kingdom, and the power, and the glory forever.
Amen.
Now, for those of you who are at home, you might want to take bread, cracker, wafer, some symbol of the body of Christ, and pass it to each other or offer it to someone next to you. Or if you're alone, just say the words out loud together or in your heart. This is the body of Christ. Once you receive a bread or a wafer or some symbol of the body of Jesus, we welcome you to take a cup and either dip into it or to even drink and hear and sense that this is the blood of Jesus shed for you. We believe in our church that this sacrament or mystery is open to all people who long to know God. So whether you're a United Methodist or even a practicing Christian, we welcome you to take this sacrament, to receive Jesus, and to begin to see the Beatitudes personally lived out in your own life, even beyond your hope, your understanding, or your effort. So we'll be serving our tech team. You'll hear some music to give you a chance to serve each other and yourself, and then we'll gather together for a prayer.
I love you, Lord. your mercy fall on us. Grant us peace in our hearts today, and put us back together again.
If you would pray with me. Dear God, we belong to you because of the work and the power of Jesus Christ, and you belong to us forever. Amen.
Go forth this week and be blessed. Be blessed when you're meek, when you're humble, when you're gentle, not because of what you have done, but because you're a beloved child of God. Take peace and comfort and hope into this week. Amen.